Today, I am so excited to have Chris Shelton on Hustle for Happiness podcast, a true master of Qigong and Chinese medicine. Chris's journey to becoming an expert in these ancient practices is nothing short of remarkable. Growing up in an abusive home, Chris faced immense challenges as a child, but a life-changing injury led him down an entirely new path and one that would ultimately transform his life over the next 30 years. During that time, Chris has helped countless people from professional athletes to those like Robert Downey Jr. reclaim their health and find freedom from chronic pain, all without relying on medication. He's the author of two must-read books, the producer of an upcoming TV series and popular YouTube content, and the co-founder of several impressive organizations. But what really sets Chris apart is a deep understanding of how Qigong and Chinese medicine can be transformative tools for emotional healing and trauma recovery. In our conversation today, he's going to share his powerful personal story and explain how these practices can be the drug-free, medication-free path to wellness that so many of us have been searching for. But seriously, this is a conversation you won't want to miss. Now, let's get into it.
Hey, I'm Courtney Brooke, and this is Hustle for Happiness podcast. We are all on this journey to find happiness, and let's face it, it takes work. And honestly, it's not always rainbows and butterflies. This podcast is dedicated to helping you navigate life and cut through the noise. As a certified life coach, recovering perfectionist, and survivor of the foster care system, I'm all about keeping things real. With my unique outlook on life that is truly infectious, we cover everything from achieving happiness and optimal self-care to stories of those sharing their wisdom and expertise. Thank you for showing up for yourself. Now, let's get started.
Hey.
Hey there.
How's it going? Thank you so much for coming on Hustle for Happiness, Chris.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Seriously, yeah, seriously, this is when I walked into your office, you guys, I landed in LAX, an hour delayed. It all works in divine order, though, because I walked in feeling just at peace. And I feel like a lot of what you do in Qigong and your practice probably has a lot to deal with that.
Yeah, for sure. In fact, you know, the feng shui that's set up here at our Morning Crane studio in Burbank, we also have a Morning Crane studio in San Jose, California as well. But I have no control over what somebody's life is like outside of the clinic. So the only thing I have control over is how they feel as soon as they walk in. So my job is to make them feel as relaxed as possible so the healing can really take place.
Yeah, so I guess let's just rewind a million years ago, really though. What is Qigong?
What is Qigong?
Seriously though.
Yeah, Qi is a life force energy that emanates through all living things. You know, even the consciousness of the chair you're sitting on is a form of Qi. Gong is the skill in which we harness this life force energy in order to benefit our lives and our emotional well-being. So if you ever heard of the term of gong fu, what that means is skill with a fist. So Qigong in this sense is what we're talking about is that we're taking the skill of harnessing this life force energy that's inside of our bodies and to improve our overall state of well-being and our mental and emotional well-being, because according to classical Chinese medicine, the leading cause of death and disease is negative emotions. And it's not that these emotions are bad, it's when they're not processed properly that it actually shows up as disease. And so the awesome thing about Qigong is that it gives people the tools, tangible tools, not just about talking about your trauma, but the tangible tools in order to process day-to-day stress, but also more importantly, what happened as our childhood, you know, growing up or whatever, or, you know, if we're abandoned, any of those kinds of things, abuse, all that kind of stuff. So it gives people the tools to be able to process those things.
That's truly amazing to have another opportunity or another way to heal ourselves. Not, you know, childhood is one. Do you have to have traumatic childhood to use Qigong?
That's a great question. No, you do not. And, you know, the whole idea is about this internal alchemy, internal change that happens inside the body. And, you know, not everybody has trauma and you don't have to suffer in order to practice Qigong. The reality is that it's still benefits everybody, because what you're doing is that you're taking this life force energy that's within yourself, helping to harmonize these internal organs. And guess what? If all these internal organs are harmonized correctly, then your body is vibrant and your life is vibrant as well too. And we could get into this, I guess, a little bit later, but it actually will show up on your face as well.
Yeah, I'm sure you're looking at my face right now, seeing all the breakouts I have as I walk in from the airplane. So why don't we just go for it?
You want to dive into that?
Yeah, let's look at my face. He's literally looking at my face. I had a CO2 laser a week ago, just so you know.
Oh, did you?
I did. So the breakouts are there. But let's talk about acne, because a lot of the people I work with follow me for skincare and acne. So tell me what the face can read to share what's going on with my body. Use me as a guinea pig.
As a guinea pig. Yeah. Okay. So the face doesn't lie. It tells a story of what's going on. So one of the nice things about Chinese face reading is it's one form of diagnosis. So I have so many forms of diagnosis. Your pulse, your tongue. I get diagnosed from your diagnosing your belly button, believe it or not, your feet. But the face tells me so much. So the face will tell me your personality, how you think, and emotional traumas that are still stuck inside the bodies in specific organs, actually, and also, more importantly, than potential diseases.
All right. So you're telling me that by looking at my face, you already knew something instantly was going on with me.
As soon as you walked in. So as soon as a patient walks in the door, my job starts immediately is to observe. So I don't only observe the face. I observe how you walk. I observe the clothes that you wear, especially if you keep on coming in for more treatments. I will observe the patterns of clothes that you wear because they will tell me potential disharmonies inside the body.
So let's just break it down. So, I mean, gosh, we only have an hour to do this.
Okay.
But I really want to get into how you got into Qigong, but I have to like selfishly have you look at my face and just instantly tell me what comes up for you.
Well, you're a very passionate person. You're very generous. You laugh easy. We could tell that because of the lines in your bottom lip. And when we look at how passionate somebody is, we could tell by the size of their lips and the size of your mouth. And the fact that when she smiles too, you can't see her gums shows us that she's very generous as well too. Now, the size of her nostrils show me that she's going to be generous with her energy and her finances with specific people though. She's not just going to dish it out there. But if you're somebody that's close to you, then you're somebody that will give to that person. Now, when we look at health and potential diseases, because there's so many things that people do, right? They eat healthy, they make sure they hydrate, they sleep, they take all their supplements, all that kind of stuff. Living down here in Los Angeles, we have access to so many different health modalities. We do ozone treatments, we do cryo, we do so many different things, right? But if you're not dealing with the emotions, guess what? It's still going to show up as disease. Doesn't matter what else you're doing. It may slow the process. So one of the things that we see is that there's past regrets and there's loss and sorrow that's happened. And they have not been fully resolved yet. And we can tell that by the fine little lines. You can't tell. She's really pretty. You can't see these little lines because this is something that I'm trained to just to look at. But it just shows the past regrets, probably from childhood, I would say. And then also, too, when we talk about acne and skin issues, it's repressed anger, old anger, and resentment that has not been expressed appropriately. So according to Chinese medicine, your lungs control your skin. That is one of the main functions of the lungs besides helping with our immune system and stuff like that. But when we see red blotches or, systemic acne, when we see hives on somebody, then that's a liver discord. Then that means that there's something going on emotionally inside the body. And sure, you could do a liver gallbladder flush. It always helps. But you have to be able to get into what is that old anger and resentment. And that's where these Qigong practices come in because it specifies into which organ, in this case, the liver and gallbladder. And then also, too, honing in on, well, what was the trauma or what was the circumstance where I hold this resentment or this old anger? And then the color green, imagining the color green filling up into the liver and then focusing on the situation. And then as you inhale, pull that breath in, feel the situation, visualize it like as though it's just occurred. And then as you exhale, you want to imagine it leaving like a dark cloud going several feet away from the body and deep into the ground. And so this will start to transform the skin conditions.
You said the color green. Why green?
Well, there's the five major organs of the body. So the style of Qigong that I teach is five element Qigong. And five element Qigong is based on the five internal organs of the body. And so each of these five elements has a certain color that's associated with it. So like the heart, for example, the color red or pink. The liver and gallbladder is the color green. In fact, people say, well, how did they come up with the color green? Well, if you're jaundiced, what color do you turn? A yellowish green color. If you're profusely vomiting at a certain point, what do? You vomit green because the bile, right? So the color green is associated with liver and gallbladder. The color black or blue is associated with the kidneys and the bladder. The color white or silver is associated with the lungs. And then the color yellow or orange is associated with the spleen and the pancreas. So these five organs, and then these five organs also house five different negative emotions. So let's start off with the heart first. So the heart is the emperor, empress of the body. It will dictate how much of an emotion will be expressed or suppressed. And so, but the negative emotions that attack the heart are the emotions of abandonment, loneliness, lack of joy, overexcitation, mania. Those are the main emotions. But those emotions, those other emotions like fear and shock and such, have to penetrate through the heart first. So the liver is affected, like I was saying, by anger, rage, frustration, and resentment, old anger, being too controlling too. So if you're somebody that's really controlling, that also will create a blood discord inside the body as well too. Fear, fright, and shock affects your kidneys and your bladder. So if you think about it, if somebody is in fight or flight mode, especially in flight mode, what do? They may urinate themselves. See the connection? Worry, anxiety, over-intellectualizing, brooding too much over a situation or a person will affect your stomach and your spleen and your pancreas. And then grief and sadness and loss will affect your lungs. And so we'll see somebody, for example, who's lost a loved one or their pet has ran away or whatever, all of a sudden develop an unproductive dry cough. That unproductive dry cough, you go to your physician, chances are that physician will tell you that you have asthma and here's this inhaler, the steroid drug or whatever. It's not. It's the grief stuck in the lungs. It's the sorrow stuck in the lungs. But it has to go through the heart first. So if you think about it, if you're angry at something, what happens? Your heart races and then attacks your liver and your gallbladder. If you're fearful or something, what happens? Your heart races and it weakens your kidneys. If you're worried about something or anxious, what happens? Your heart races and then it weakens your spleen and your pancreas. If you're grieving something, your heart hurts and then it weakens your lungs. So you see, that's how the connection is.
So connected, because that's often, it's pushed, I feel like, in society that just take a medicine or you'll be fine. Or, it's just shove it under the rug. But as you mentioned in your book, your neck and back book, The Easy Guide to Fix, you mentioned that it's proven to work. It's survived. This medicine, this Chinese medicine, has survived this long. So therefore, it's like survival of the fittest. What works stays and people use. Talk to me about that, or talk to those about like the effectiveness, or what's the word in terms of guarantee? Like, this is proven, right? Yeah.
So the reality is that anything that is fake will have a way of destroying itself. It'll expose itself. And Qigong has been around for thousands of years. And most people still to this day have not heard of the word Qigong, right? They don't know what the practice is. We get people that will call our studio and they can't pronounce the word Qi. And they'll say, yes, I'm inquiring about that Qigong class. Who's Qi and where'd she go? Yeah, right.
And so you laugh secretly.
Yeah. Qi will be right back.
But it is spelled, if those that are listening have never seen this, this is perfect for you because it actually is spelled super funny.
Yeah.
It's exactly how it sounds.
Yeah.
Or it looks.
Qigong. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a pinyin way of spelling it. But what people don't realize is that Qigong is actually the foundation of Tai Chi. It's also the foundation of acupuncture as well, too. So thousands of years ago, highly developed people of the time, they were so in tune with nature and their bodies and their environment that they are able to sense and express because they're so close to God, right? So close to God minus the ego. The ego didn't really start off, as mankind started to evolve, that's where the egos really started to come up. And part of that ego obviously is healthy, but the part of the ego that disconnects us from God, disconnects us from our environment, disconnects us from what's going on internally, is what deviates us from the ultimate subtle truth. And there's a book called The I Ching, The Book of Change and the Unchanging Truth. Why? Because there's on this planet, there's things that will change, right? Like life circumstances change, all kinds of the seasons change, but there's some truths that do not change. Gravity, for example, night and day, for example, right? Some truths do not change, but there's some truths within our scope that obviously do change. And the whole idea then is to be able to, when they developed the I Ching, is because ancient developed ones back in the early days, they saw the de-evolution of man from their centeredness, from their pure beingness, right? So the whole purpose of the I Ching is not a fortune teller, but it's to give you guidance behind any situation. Because you could be practicing Qigong, you'd be eating well and doing all this kind of stuff, right? Hydrating well. But if you make a decision on something, that decision could affect you positively or negatively one day or your whole lifetime. Because how many times do people, you know, they make a choice on something and then they think, okay, this is the right direction to go. And then they suffer. I'll give you a fine example. So the purpose of the I Ching, the development of the I Ching, was that ancient developed ones at the time saw the de-evolution of mankind. And they saw how this ego was taking over. And so a person could be taking care of themselves. They could be exercising, hydrating, eating right. But if you make a decision on something, that decision could affect you one day or your whole lifetime. And a fine example is back in the dot-com crash, a friend of mine, he was working for a big high-tech company and he decided to go to the startup. And he went to the startup and bought this big, beautiful house in the East Foothills and stuff like that. And then what happened is the bubble burst and guess what? He lost his job. His wife kicked him out of the house, or he lost his house, And his wife also took the kids and divorced him. And that affected him psychologically, financially, and emotionally, which created a severe autoimmune disease for him, right? So the whole purpose of the I Ching and all these tools that are found in Qigong and Chinese medicine is to create harmony and balance. And nothing in the universe is ever at a static state of 50-50. It's impossible. Everything is always in flux, but it's recognizing when the flux, not getting it too far out of balance. And one of the nice things about Qigong is that it allows you to pull things in balance again. So when people say, oh, well, Chris, this is some kind of voodoo, mystic type of thing. No, you don't have to believe in it. I'm about as far away of mystic as possible. Do I believe that there's a part? Is there, you know, some mysticism to Chinese medicine stuff? Sure, there is, but there's a time and place for it. And it's not a belief structure. You don't have to believe in it for it to work. A lot of people say, well, you must believe. And sure, positive thinking, positive self-talk and stuff does help. But I tell people, just do the practice. Follow the instructions that are in my new Qigong book that's just coming out here in January, and you'll start to see the benefits for yourself. And that becomes the proof that's in the pudding. And what I love about Qigong is that it does not discriminate against race, gender, spiritual background, does not discriminate. It's meant for all people. And the cool thing about it too is that you could do it from a seated position, you could do it from a standing position. And even though there are specific gentle movements, almost like Tai Chi or Tai Chi, or specific meditations, even if you're somebody who's a paraplegic, just by visualizing it, you can still get benefit from it.
And so you talk a lot about trauma and grief and, you know, not the not so fun things that humans go through with their emotions. Can you use it to prevent or keep happiness going? Or because there is that other side of it that some people might not be aware of something wrong with them, or they're just really good. And I love people who are in that state. I love that for you. But there are people that are just, there's nothing really going on. Like, can you use Qigong to prolong or keep things going?
Yeah. So the whole idea about doing these ancient practices, it's an internal alchemy, creating internal change inside your body. And so when we think about our internal organs, normally we don't think about them. We think about our stomach maybe when we're hungry, or if we have a cough or whatever, we might think about our lungs, but we don't think about our kidneys on the daily.
No.
Like, how's my battery doing today? Like, we don't check in with that. So we may feel our heart, especially if we have heart palpitations or AFib or something like that, you know. But the reality is that these organs all have to work together. Just like we're interconnected, we're also interconnected with our environment. These internal organs are also interconnected. And I understand how these internal organs work according to science. But in Chinese medicine, these organs have a much, much, much greater functionality. And so understanding that in the disease process, then you could actually see like, oh, okay, well, this is a liver stomach discord, or this is a heart spleen discord, you know? So understanding this and then understanding how the emotions come into play. And that's where the face reading comes in. Because when I'm doing the Q&A, if I'm reading the face and if I don't get the answers that I'm looking for, I'll start calling people out. Yeah, I'll call them out because, and my job is not to force feed them, oh, you have this still past emotional trauma. Because a lot of times people say, oh, well, I dealt with that years ago. And one of my favorite case studies, I had this woman, she's a personal trainer. She came in with lower back issues. And as I'm taking her notes, I said, okay, well, we'll fix your back, but you have to deal with that resentment that you have towards men. She goes, oh, I dealt with that years ago. I was like, bullshit. All right.
You're like reading.
Yeah. Fast forward, we fix her back and she still would periodically come in. Like if she tweaked her shoulder lifting weights or she had some kind of digestive issue or flu or whatever. And then one day she came in, something she said, something I saw in her tongue and something I read on her face. I said, I need you to make an appointment with your primary care physician because I want your carotid arteries tested. She goes, you're crazy. She goes, look at me. I have almost 0% body fat. I work out 1 to 2 hours every day. I eat healthy. And I said, okay, I'm seeing this on your face. So legally I have to refer out, right? And so anyways, 2 weeks later, she was in my lobby in tears. And she said, I want to thank you for saving my life. Both my carotid arteries are 70% blocked. So she's eating right and she's exercising. What is the one part she was missing? Was that emotional component? She had suppressed it, whether it was an ex-husband or a father issue or whatever. It was something there. But the nice thing was that her physician and I worked together. He put her on no medications. We changed her diet according to Chinese nutrition, not according to Western nutrition. Chinese nutrition is based upon the energetic properties of food, not just nutrients. So that's a whole different segment.
Yeah,
we can talk about that too.
We could do that next, yeah.
And then she continued to come in 1 year, no medication. Her carotid arteries were clear. And it's not by accident. It was not some kind of magical thing. No, it's because she finally got to the root. She did have dad issues, which then manifested into her first marriage, because we normally marry, or at least I did anyways, marry what her parents were like, and which created this resentment for her. Once she resolved the resentment, then guess what? Her body, her DNA kicked in, and then those arteries were clear.
And a lot of times I'm just thinking about, like, that's such a beautiful story in terms of her healing and you helping her just be the root of something so much bigger. What if situations, like, I'm going to selfishly talk about myself in terms of, I don't remember all the details of my trauma, but I know that moving around till I was 9 and in foster care and not having a home and CPS was our best friends, as we were talking about earlier. I don't remember the details. I literally tell people I blacked out before 9 because I suppressed it so much probably. And when you say, like, anger and that, I knew I was an angry child, even though in every photo I was smiling, you know? So if you don't remember, or yeah, you've had so much traumatic episodes or people that just push things away, even in adulthood, you don't even have to have that even as a child. But what about those people that just suppress and suppress? You're telling me that these exercises can help relieve without remembering?
Yeah. So what I recommend that people do is I recommend that at least try to go back and think of certain circumstances, because there's certain circumstances that you remember. You may have blocked out, especially the more traumatic ones, but certain circumstances, like, well, what was it like in foster care? Were there any smells, any sounds, you know, anything, any people that you worked with or social workers that worked with you or whatever, right? You pull that into your present psyche. And you feel that, visualize that. And then as, let's say, if we're working with the liver, with resentment, or we're working with the lungs for grief or loss, you visualize that. And then as you inhale, because there's also healing sounds in Qigong for the different organs as well too. And so what I recommend that people do is that you try to bring in as much as possible. And it's okay if different thoughts come through your mind as you're doing this, that's normal. But the more that we try to keep it back honed into people revisiting even small glimpses of things, then this is where the release happens. Now, when we talk about people, for example, that disconnect from an emotion, like anger, for example, those are some of the worst diseases I see. So lupus, Lyme disease, for example, common thread, the person doesn't even know what anger is and doesn't necessarily mean that they had a traumatic experience as a child, but somewhere along the way, their psyche, they disconnected from that emotion. And here's the reality. Anger is not a bad emotion.
It isn't.
It's not.
And I think society makes it.
Makes it bad.
Yeah. Why isn't it bad?
Why isn't it bad? Because anger is there for you to fight for the underdog, to create positive change in the world, and for you to get out of bad situations. You know, an expression of liver chi is doing something creative, like you doing this podcast, for example. Earlier, before we went on set on camera here, she was doing my hair and makeup. That's liver chi in its full expression.
If you guys aren't watching on YouTube, I mean, he has zero hair, but it looks fabulous.
Thank you.
It took me like 0 seconds.
Yeah, you're so good. That's how good you are. But yeah, so that liver helps with our creativity in our, you know, and to really create, do positive things. That's the passion, because each of us is a certain element typology also, meaning that a certain organ governs us. And so if you're a wood type like I am, then my liver governs me. So wood people, what does that mean? That means that we're supposed to be business owners, military leaders, police officers, civil servants, those kinds of things, because we use that expression, that expressive liver chi in order to be able to do that kind of job. And a lot of times with wood types, for example, their voice is loud. And so when I get passionate about something, it seems like I'm yelling, but I'm not. I'm just really passionate about it. But it'll be mistaken as, oh, that's anger. No, no, that's an expression. Like heart people or fire people, the fire typology, those are people that lead with their heart. So they're ones that will be the life of the party. They'll giggle a lot. They express themselves with love. They tend to have poor boundaries because they're just so open. So anyway, so each of us is a typology too. And actually in my new book, this Chris Shelton's Easy Guide to Emotional Wellbeing with Qigong, I have a 5-element questionnaire quiz in there that you could take to figure out your typology. Why is that important? It's important because when you deviate from your typology, that starts to indicate disease.
Can you be a combination? Like you're talking totally. About like liver, kidney, heart, like, because I'm a self-diagnosed. So as you were talking about all the kidney function, I'm like, I think I'm all of those. And some of them listening probably are doing the same thing. Where do you start with all this? Or I mean, obviously book an appointment, but you know, those sitting at home, what are those tips, or do you have any tips or easy things people could start working Qigong into their life right now?
So I'd ordered the book because In the book, there's QR codes that will give you where you could download this 5-element questionnaire quiz yourself. Also, if you go to Chris Shelton YouTube or Chris Shelton Qigong on YouTube, I have the 30 days of Qigong on YouTube for free.
Yeah, I'll put it in the show notes.
And then it corresponds with all the practices inside the book. So that's where you start to be able to start to read the book. And in the YouTube channel, when I'm doing the 30 days, it's like you're taking 30 days with me at my studio in San Jose. Each day I'm talking about the practice, why you're doing it according to classical Chinese medicine, then how to do the practice. So when I'm teaching Qigong, it's not just because it feels good. Feeling good is a byproduct. The real magic is you improving your health and your well-being. And really living that epic life that God had is intended for all of us.
Yeah, and I think it's so important. You mentioned this a few times. It's a lot of the things in our body, our emotions specifically, is created inside. So yeah, you could take an inhaler. You could take an antibiotic. Or for me, I could get a laser treatment, but my acne still comes back. And I just want to talk about that in terms of medically, like, do you treat that with Qigong? Like, or do you, you said you paired up with doctors. How do you, when you see someone like me, where do you even go from there knowing all that stuff or someone coming into your office?
Yeah. So the nice thing is that I could treat somebody coming into the office. And so where it starts is the Q&A, like us having a discussion. And while we're having the discussion, I'm asking specific questions. And then based upon your face, I'm then asking other questions as well, too. And so from there, we come up with a treatment strategy. And so the difference with me, my training is in Tong style acupuncture. But when you come into clinic, I'm more hands-on with my patients. And I expect to see results right away, not 10 visits down the road. And so when we come up with a treatment strategy, a lot of times, for example, when we look at acne, these different acupuncture points that are on the body, they all have different functions. So even if I'm working on the liver acupuncture meridian, some of these points on the liver acupuncture meridian also influence the kidneys, also influence the spleen. So understanding that, then you're able to come up with a treatment strategy to be able to see the resolution of this condition. So my wife, for example, when we first met, she had systemic acne and her parents were pretty wealthy. And so they had access to top doctors in the San Francisco Bay Area and the top medications. They're actually deadly medications, potentially deadly medication.
Yeah, Accutane, I haven't done it. You did do it. His wife is sitting here with us, you guys. I chose not to. I was so scared. But now it's still coming back, though.
Yeah, so she has systemic acne. But if you look at her childhood, it wasn't like her parents are abusive parents, but they dominated her. Still to this day, they try to dominate and control. And because she wasn't speaking up about it, and then also, too, she had some close friends that has similar personality traits to the parents. We call it my secret bully, where you have a friend who's loving and caring to you when you're one-on-one together, but then when you're out in public, then bully you or belittle you and try to put you down.
Oh yeah, I've had to drop some of those relationships. That's not fun. And it makes me think of, you know, you talk about Qigong with ourselves, but can other people's decisions affect us? Like you're saying, like her parents affected her. Do you have any tips, any help for those that have those environments that they can't get out of? And it's an indirect kind of Qigong versus, you know, you talked about making the decision earlier, oh, the decisions you make will affect you. But what about those around you?
Yeah. So everything around us will affect us, you know, will affect our DNA. So my big thing with people and relationships is, and especially with family members and parents, is boundaries, establishing healthy boundaries. Because a lot of parents, and Eckhart Tolle talks about this in his Power of Now book, he says that the mistake that a lot of parents make is that they think because they birthed the child that they own the child. They don't. The child is here on its own soul's journey. So if you're in a situation, my recommendation is that start co-manifesting. Now, this is not a Qigong practice necessarily, but it's a quantum physics practice of talking to yourself in the mirror and co-manifesting with your higher self or God. And you say, I choose to co-create with God that I have the environment that is supportive, nurturing, and loving. And you keep on saying that. And the reason why I say look at yourself in the mirror is because that once you look at yourself in the mirror, especially if you look into your left eye, you're now talking to your own soul. So it's a vibration. Again, Qi is a vibration. When we talk about God, the Tao, the universe, it's all a vibration. And most people's energy operates at a very coarse, heavy, dense vibration because they have so much attachment to this worldly plane. They have so much attachment to other people. They want other people to fulfill their emotional bucket, where those individuals should be finding ways to fulfill their emotional bucket themselves. So when people practice Qigong, I call it a form of self-refinement or internal alchemy, because it's almost like if you put a brand new guitar string on a guitar, you pluck that guitar string, what does it do? Its vibration is very coarse. But as you tune it, what happens? Its vibration becomes this very subtle resonancy. So to the naked eye, you may not be able to see that it's vibrating, but it's vibrating. As humans, as we practice Qigong, start to work through our emotional stuff, as we refine ourselves, and guess what? Our ability or our energy becomes much more refined too. So when people talk about communicating with God or the Tao or whatever, that communication comes about, or that knowingness comes about, when you quiet the mind enough because your vibration is increased enough to be able to receive it to begin with. So when people talk about, you know, I'm in this bad situation or I'm in this bad marriage or whatever, you can co-manifest with your higher being because your thoughts are a form of energy. You just can't see it. It's like the wind. Unless there's dust in the wind, you don't see the wind. That's all a form of qi. So our thought processes in co-manifesting what we say to ourselves, because a lot of us talk to ourselves in our head, you know, when you start to talk to yourself in the mirror and co-manifest what it is that you want to co-manifest for yourself, that will start to become a reality.
I mean, you make it sound so simple and so smooth. Hey, amazing listeners, it's Courtney Brook here, and I'm going to ask just a little favor and a reward that you won't want to miss. Did you know that you could get a free copy of the Daily Stoic just by helping us out? Yep, it's true. Here's how you can get this awesome book. 1, leave a review. Head to your podcast app, preferably Apple Podcasts, and tell us what you think of the Hustle for Happiness podcast. Yes, we're asking for your opinions, but don't worry, we can handle it. 2, rate the podcast. Give us a rating, 5 stars if you're feeling generous, and 1 star if you're feeling rebellious. Lastly, share and tag. Post a screenshot of your review on social media and tag Hustle for Happiness podcast so that we can see you're awesome. But seriously, and that's all you have to do to get the Daily Stoic on me. Why? Because I love this book and I know you will too. Plus, your support helps us reach even more amazing people like you. So get to it. Leave a review, slap on that rating, and share it with the world for your free book. And guys, thank you so much for being the best listeners, honestly. Now, let's get back to the episode.
I'm just selfishly thinking about, I mean, you have had a past. You've had 2 heart attacks. You were 19 years old. I mean, how has Qigong helped you specifically? How did you even get introduced to Qigong? I'm 33 years old, just now learning about this. My husband does it. And I used to think, oh, it's just weird, witchcraft. And I'm not judging it, but he becomes so relaxed after it and is a different person. And so when he used to have panic attacks, and he's had a huge mental health journey I shared with you earlier. And
he would become back a different person. And not that he's a different person, but you know, it worked. And so then I started saying, it's that, like, what is this? I just said, wow, you're doing Qigong again. Good, good, good. But I truly like want to know, how did you even become, have you found this?
Yeah, so this has been a journey. And the journey started, I grew up in a dysfunctional home with abuse and neglect. You know, I started doing drugs at age 12. I started developing all these other health problems. So probably about age 16, I started developing digestive issues, severe sinus issues as well. And then what happened was that I did have that first heart attack. And that heart attack happened right before my 19th birthday, my senior year at high school. And so the doctor said to my father, he was standing outside the curtain in the ER, and I overheard the doctor say to my father that if your son was any older, that he would have died. But it's only because of his age. And also I was wrestling and doing sports and stuff like that. And then I heard the doctor say, well, he got a hold of some bad stuff. And I was thinking, well, I've gotten stuff that's never gotten me off before, but nothing's done this to me, right? So a few months later, I used again and I had another heart attack. This time I was alone. And because of the shame surrounding the first heart attack, I was just going to allow myself to die that day. So I didn't call 911. So a cardiologist did confirm that I did have a second heart attack. And he said, well, you know, Chris, unfortunately, we don't know what kind of damage you've done to your heart. So one day you might not just wake up. And so I realized at the time, like, oh, shoot, if I keep this up, I'm going to end up dead in prison or both. And also, too, I grew up in East San Jose and I was getting jumped. You know, I started fighting one guy. Next thing I knew, I was fighting, you know, three or four other guys. And so I put myself into Taekwondo, number one, to give myself a path for which to discipline myself. But number two, to be able to handle multiple assailants. So I started competing full contact right away as soon as I got my yellow belt. And then one night, accidentally, I was kicked in the back that left me with a severe back injury. And my mom was a nurse and she worked for this doctor. Because doctors at the time were saying, Chris, if you move the wrong way, you might not walk again or ever have sex again. They said, if you don't have surgery, if you don't have the spinal fusion, then this you could be in big trouble. So anyways, this other doctor, she had a different approach and she had a physician working for her and he was a martial artist. And he started talking to me about Qi, you know, so I'm like, what, 20, 21 years old now? I was like, yeah, right. Closest thing to Qi I was going to get was like Cheez-Its and Cheese Whiz. Like, what are you talking about?
Right, yeah. Finish your word.
Right. It ain't easy being cheesy.
But he introduced you to not the snacks, but Qi.
But Qi, right? So I started taking these Qigong classes, and this was over 30 years ago. Nobody was talking about Qigong back then. And there's a couple of women in the class, and you know, at first I thought I was honestly a Qi dud because I didn't feel anything at all. Like they were talking about, oh, I have this sensation, I'm feeling hot or cold. Like I didn't feel nothing. And then, but what I started to notice after 6 months, my back started to improve, number one. Hmm. But my digestive issues that I had started to go away. Then my sinus issues started to go away. And I thought, man, if a simple gentle movement and specific practice or meditation could do this to me, then there must be something to the practice. So that's when I started studying Chinese medicine. And so that's what started the journey.
And then here we are today.
Here we are 33 years later.
How do you bring such an ancient Chinese medicine into such a modern world without people thinking you are crazy?
I am crazy.
So one, accept the crazy. But how do you translate crazy to the modern world?
The nice thing about trauma and having these life circumstances is that I can relate to a lot of people. We have big government contracts up in the San Francisco Bay Area. We're in charge of the 33,000 employees for employee wellness. So pre-pandemic, then what was happening was I would go in and give talks to trauma nurses and doctors on disease prevention. I go into the jails, social services, the sheriff's department, and I have a way of talking about this stuff that to where it makes sense, where it's common sense. And the proof is in the pudding, because I'll give a talk. Like, for example, last year I gave a talk to the homicide unit for LAPD because of the stuff that they're seeing. Now, these are some very tough men and women.
Yeah.
That are seeing some pretty nasty things out there. And some of the homicide officers actually work with adolescents. So they're seeing the overdoses of fentanyl on the high school campuses and stuff like that. And the suicides. And anyways, I gave a talk first, and then I had the whole group, all the officers, participate with me with some of these Qigong practices. And everybody felt what it is I was talking about. And so at the time, the LAPD police chief said that they were going to make this a mandatory part of their training. So we're still in talks with that. But the nice thing is, especially when we talk about reform, it's not defunding the police. It's not about that at all. No, like that job that the police officers have, I have so much respect for them.
Yeah.
Because of what they go through. But you have to give people tools to be able to process it. And what was nice about working with the homicide unit, it was that they got to see firsthand just how quickly they could feel better.
And that's all because of Qigong.
Yeah, it was because of Qigong. And I don't do their job, obviously, but being able to meet them where they're at, to where I could convey this ancient knowledge in a way that doesn't seem mystic or, you know, fairy airy, or being a Christian myself, but I have some Christian friends that will say, oh, well, you're doing new age stuff. I'm like, you know, if Jesus could heal, we all could heal.
Right. But it's also been years ago this came about, years and years and years ago. And you're seeing it firsthand with not just in your office, but at an LAPD, which is high stress, high. I mean, if you put yourself into those job roles and what they see, like, they need the most healing, they need the most assistance. And those listening aren't LAPD that extreme, but it might feel like it to us sometimes. And it might feel that way when you're in that anxiety attack, quote unquote anxiety attack, or you're in stressed or trying to control, or, you know, with social media, you don't get a text back. That's as equal, you know, like there's all of that out there. And so I think this is so perfect in terms of just sharing another tool for people to manage their emotions, essentially, is what you're saying, without a drug or a prescription.
Correct. And also, too, if you have some type of illness, being able to transform that illness. And that's what I talk about in my new back book, Chris Shelton's Easy Guide to Fix Neck and Back Pain, is I go through the different emotions for the different parts of the spine. For example, cervical issue, neck issues. If you wake up one day and you can't turn your head or your shoulder's frozen, take an inventory of what's going on in your life. One of my favorite case studies is a famous rock and roll star. He had cervical arthritis in his neck, and he was supposed to have cervical fusion. And so our folks in Chicago said, well, before you have that surgery, fly to San Jose and see Chris. So he flies in, and I said to him, I said, okay, brother, I said, what was going on 2 years ago before the pain showed up? And he said, oh man, he goes, I don't know. He goes, I think, everybody says this, I think my mattress is bad or my pillow is bad, right?
Slept funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he goes, no, I think it's the stress of being on tour, or maybe the way that I hold my guitar on stage. And then he paused and he thought about it. And he actually said, actually 2 weeks before the pain showed up, my horse died. So his horse died, took care of business, went back on tour. And one day his body said, guess what? That actually hurt you more than you think.
I'm here.
Yeah. And he's really funny because he did a testimonial for me on this TV show called Celebrity Sweat. And he said, yeah, Chris Shelton got rid of my arthritis in 30 minutes. And yes, we got rid of his pain. But then what happened was that we unlocked that trauma and that connection. And then guess what? His own DNA kicked in and healed the arthritis.
That's an unbelievable. I also see this as such a great tool for preventative, like looking at symptoms of your body versus what society says as, oh, you slept wrong, or you have to get a better pillow. Oh, you're a back sleeper or whatever, right? Let's go deeper here. Let's think for ourselves. I had a ruptured implant and I just got it fixed in February, but my right shoulder was really tight. And for the longest time, I go, there's something wrong. And so to back up even before that, we were trying to get pregnant for a year and I couldn't get pregnant. So we went to the Mayo Clinic, do all the testing. I have eggs, I have tubes, I do the iodine test. I do like 6 different tests. James does all his tests. And then they said, well, it looks like you're 40% infertile, meaning, or you have a 40% chance of having a kid. And I go, is this like, okay, like, where'd you get this, number one? But two, I go, no, something is wrong. Like, this doesn't make sense to me. And so they're like, well, your next route is IVF. And I go, okay. They didn't do any blood tests. They didn't check my blood levels. They didn't check any of that. My B levels were so low. I'm like, okay, so if my B levels are low, my body's using energy to fix something that's going on inside of my body, aka trying to figure out what's going on with this implant. Well, the shoulder problems was there. We couldn't get pregnant. And I'm like, I know it's a ruptured implant. So anyways, fast forward,
It's been ruptured. It was ruptured for 3+ years, completely dismantled, so close to my lymph nodes. And so if I would have had an IVF kid, this is why, like, I have nothing against IVF, but like your body knows before you do. And so my body knew not to have a kid. It was nothing about me being an infertile woman. It's about something inside saying, hey, there's something going on. It was a silicone implant. So he did a full like capsulectomy and cleared it all out, my doctor in San Diego. And it reminds me of all these things, like listen to the signs, listen to our bodies. Our bodies know, but you can also have prevention. You've saved lives, or, you know, it starts as a little knee pain or heartburn all the time for me, or, you know, like things like that, or a restless sleep. Like this is something that can be like an angel, so to speak.
Yeah. So we have a saying in Qigong that in Chinese medicine itself, that the superior doctor is one that could prevent disease before disease sets in. So the whole idea of practicing Qigong is for you to become your own superior doctor. What does that mean? So I have a practice that's available on iTunes. It's also talked about in my book. It's on Spotify as well too. It's called the Center and Balance Meditation. And the whole purpose of that meditation, because I guide you through feeling your body and then through each of these internal organs. So the whole purpose of that body is for you to become so aware of what's going on inside of you that you can feel when an organ is out of balance before it actually shows up as disease. So you become your own superior doctor. Now, I'm not saying, because I do believe in integrated medicine, I'm not saying stop seeing your doctor, nothing crazy like that. What I'm saying is that you take this accountability to go inward yourself. If you go inward, you can start to feel these internal organs when they go out of balance, because those internal organs, when they go out of balance, that starts to show up as disease.
You're not saying don't go to your doctor.
Yeah, I'm not saying don't go to your doctor. Obviously, you know, you want to do the blood tests, you want to have your routine checkups and those kinds of things. But if you want to take the power back of empowering yourself to be able to live this ultimate life, practicing these practices will give you the knowingness to know what's happening inside of you before it shows up as disease. And the Yellow Emperor, there's an ancient classical Chinese medicine book called The Yellow Emperor's Classic of Difficulties, or the Su Wen. And in that book, the Yellow Emperor says, you know, in order to fight disease after disease sets in, is like digging a well after one has become thirsty, or forging one's weapons after engaging in battle. Wouldn't that be too late? So the whole idea of these practices is for you to have this knowingness to be able to ward off disease before disease sets in. And when we talk about our immune health, because we went whole through this whole pandemic thing, right? We talk about our immune health. A lot of people don't realize, like, well, if our lungs and our kidneys and all these organs are functioning properly, you're not going to get sick. You won't get sick. So being able to take care of this and supplement right is a way for us in order to, and but it's actually good, especially for kids. It's actually good for kids to get sick.
Totally agree. My life coach, she's 80. She's the one that she's coming on. Anyways, she's like, literally, like, something will fall on the floor in like a restaurant, she'll pick it up. She goes, our bodies are amazing.
They're amazing.
And she is amazing. I'm like, we need more of Abby in the world, because people, we don't need to be afraid of germs, is what I'm hearing you say.
Correct.
It's part of us. It should be.
Right. And this is how we build our immune system, but also by practicing practices like Qigong, you can now also help to build your immune strength to be able to ward off pathogens before they come in. And that's the interesting thing also about Chinese medicine too, because we recognize viruses and bacteria, but once they enter into the body, it's no longer looked at a virus or bacteria. We look at it as, well, is it a hot or cold condition? Is it an internal, external condition? Is it an excess or deficient condition? And what organ systems is it affecting? So that's why during COVID, when doctors were saying, you know, don't come into the hospital, just take some Advil or whatever and stay at home, I was telling my patients, no, come in, because we had the answer. Because Chinese medicine, a lot of people don't realize this, was not based upon treating menstrual disorders and migraines. It was based on viruses. Because thousands and hundreds of thousands of years ago, people were dying, millions of people were dying of these plagues. So in Chinese medicine, I have so many diagnostic systems for which to be able to assess when a patient comes in with a virus, what level that disease is inside the body, and then what practices and what herbal formulas and what dietary changes can we make in order to eradicate the virus from the system.
I feel like there's so many different elements to Qigong. You said acupuncture, karate, right? No, jujitsu, taekwondo,
There's three components, right? There's three in your book, you said.
Yes. Yeah, you studied.
I just read. I'm like super fascinated with this. So for me, like, I was like, oh, I already did Qigong. When I was trying to get pregnant, I did acupuncture. I can't say it didn't work because my body, you know what I'm saying? What are other ways people can use Qigong? Like, I did fertility. I did acupuncture, right? So what are other areas that you're seeing people come in to utilize you?
So I work really well with all kinds of chronic pain issues. And my expectation, this is what brought me into Hollywood. You know, I'm from the San Francisco Bay Area. I had no intentions of being in LA. I actually really love LA. So much fun being down here. But what happened was that my old fight coach was Kung Lee, former UFC fighter, Vietnamese fighter, world champion. Anyways, up in the Bay Area, he was giving me all kinds of publicity up in the Bay Area. Showtime, NBC Sports, the UFC was at my office a couple times. And so what happened was my wife and I, we had a fitness studio also. We had a clinic, a clinical practice, and then we had a private Pilates studio plus a fitness studio. And we were selling these EFX bands. And I don't know if you remember these EFX bands, but a lot of ball players were wearing them at the time. It's supposed to help with balance and stuff like that. So anyways, so Coach Kung was selling them. And he goes, well, you need to contact this guy, Eric, the trainer in Los Angeles, because Eric is the spokesperson for EFX. So I call Eric and Eric goes, dude, I'd like to meet you. I said, okay, well, in a couple of weeks, my wife and I are flying down to do a fundraiser with Robert Downey Jr. So why don't we meet by LAX? So we met, and Eric was this massive Jewish guy with long blonde hair, but such a big heart. He's like, man, Kung told me about what you're doing, how you heal him all the time and all the other fighters and stuff like that. He goes, nobody's doing what you're doing in the San Francisco Bay Area down here in LA. I said, Eric, you're full of it, man, because there's millions of people. He goes, no, I know the who's who. And I thought he was full of it. But he does. He started to give me all of his high profile clients. And so fast forward, we're flying back and forth and, you know, sending me all of his high profile clients and stuff. And what started happening was that because of the success, repeated success for multiple types of conditions, not just chronic pain, but also things that people suffer with, like you're talking about acid reflux or GERD or depression, anxiety disorders. So far, everybody who's come in with an anxiety disorder or depression, we've gotten them off their medication. So that's how we ended up here. And so it's when you ask the question like, well, what else is it that I work with? I say there's anything. Even if a person is going through chemo or radiation for cancer, there are things that we can do to help to minimize the side effects of the chemo or the radiation.
I think that's super a powerful piece. There's always something in our healing journey, whether it's emotional or actually physical, right? There's a full spectrum and we can constantly be working on, like you said, getting back into that harmony, whether it might be the season of emotions or, you know, for me, I mentioned before the show, we were talking about mental health, and 2022 to 24 was a tough year for you and I and your family, as well as mine. And healing from that, you know, there's constant ways to heal. And I think that the underlying message is it takes work to work on yourself and being okay with that and knowing that, you know, me becoming I'm a recovering perfectionist, you know, but knowing that and being okay, but also knowing that it's not a destination. Life is going to keep coming and life is going to keep lifing you, so to speak, right?
Correct. Yeah. And it's not about perfection. This back book took me over 10 years to write, cost us over $100,000, which is way too much. It doesn't cost that much to write a book, but it did for us. But anyways, one of my editors, she used to say that perfection is the enemy of done. And so it's not about perfection. It's about finding this path's journey. And Qigong is one method. And when you ask the question, what are the three pillars of Qigong or what are the three schools of Qigong? It's medical, which applies for Qigong and acupuncture, Chinese herbology, pharmacology. Medical, martial, which is internal styles of martial arts. So internal styles of martial arts would be Tai Chi. A lot of people don't know that Tai Chi is a martial art. Yeah, Tai Chi, Xing Yi, Ba Gua, each one are all internal styles of martial arts. And then the spiritual school is not any kind of ism. It's not associated necessarily with Taoism or Buddha. It's understanding that you are responsible for the refinement of your own essence. You could seek through prayer, you could seek through co-manifestation support and stuff, but you are responsible for being able to harmonize and balance yourself out and not just applying Qigong to your life, but also making sure at least you're walking every day, that you're hydrating, that you're eating the right foods, eating the foods that are right for your constitution, not according to specific fads.
Or social media, or what your favorite influencer is.
Right. So anyway, so those are the three main schools of Qigong. And there's many different styles of Qigong. The style of Qigong that we're teaching here at Morning Crane is to really empower people by letting people understand that, hey, we can process these emotions. Now, grant you, there are some people out there that would rather go to the doctor, say, give me the shot, give me the pill, give me the surgery, because I don't want to do the work. And that's okay, because that's their journey. That's their journey, right? But for those of us that want more, and for me, I want to live to be at least 130.
I'm good at 100.
So if we can.
Yeah. So keeping that going, though, and not like having a quality of life, because you could live to 130, but are you in pain? Are you on a machine? Right. So I think what you're going is like, we have the ability at our hands to not rely on a medicine, as a lot of people are given these antidepressants, or you see influencers talking now about what depressant they're on social media now. And then they go to their doctor and say, I saw so-and-so. There's other options and there's other tools. And I think that you hit that so well and shared that. I selfishly have a question for you. When you go out to like a dinner party and, you know, the holidays just happened, you say you can read faces. Can you turn that off? Like, or is that like your favorite thing to do? Like, is that your quote unquote, is that your bar trick? I just have to ask, like, because you walked in, you're like, yeah, I see your face. I'm like, cool.
No, you know, it's one of those things that I normally don't start reading a person's face. I mean, there's certain things that I'll notice like right away, like if a person flirts a lot.
So flirting is part, like flirting is a huge giveaway for what?
Well, they like to have fun. They want that attention. You know, it's not necessarily nothing negative, you know, right? So if I see somebody with flirt lines, for example, I might play around a little bit just for fun because I see that the person has.
So you read the face and you actually like play into what you see more so.
Yeah. But also too, how I use the faces or when I start reading people is normally like if they say something that's like off the wall, I'm like, oh, where did that come from? Oh, dad issues. Those are good old dad issues there. Here, let me give you this pill. No, let me give you my Qigong book.
Right. I mean, I'm serious because I see people like, for instance, like I'm super passionate about acne and healing it, not with Accutane, but I talk about it a lot on my platform is acne is one that hits close to me in terms of, you know, what are you putting into your body, but how are you healing? What is it? Like things got to come out. So for me, things aren't coming out or they are coming out. And that's obviously through my acne.
So like if you were to come into clinic, for example, I would actually be treating your liver, gallbladder, and stomach. Yeah. So we'd do a Q&A, for example.
Yeah. What would be some questions just to give people? I'm just curious too.
Yeah. So some of the questions right off the bat would be like, how was your childhood? Let's talk about your childhood.
You go straight for the jugular. Got you.
Yep. My wife says your foreplay is horrible.
Yeah. There's no foreplay. That was not. I would say as a life coach, what makes you think I had a horrible childhood?
Yes, I'm going to ask about your childhood. I'm going to ask about your relationships. I'm going to ask about the career. I'm going to ask about your sleep. I'm going to ask about your menstruation. I'm going to ask about constipation, all that kind of stuff. The stuff that people take for granted. Because what's interesting is that some people live with constipation and they think it's normal. Look, I'm going through puberty. Normal.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm seriously, as you're speaking, I'm checking every box. Yeah, I like work out and I'm happy, but like, things could get better. It's a slippery slope of, do I say, oh my gosh, my relationship's bad, so I must have a terminal illness building inside me. Like, how do you differentiate or how we eat, like, versus going to the extreme of, oh, I need to go and, oh my gosh, this neck pain is a future cancer lump. You know what I'm saying? Like, how do you help us bring it back in?
So how we bring it back in is because it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to end up with a terminal disease. But if you have a lot of resentment towards your husband, for example, then that's going to show up as menstrual issues. It's going to show up as digestive issues. It's going to show up as acne on the skin. There's so many different things. Eye trouble, floaters in the eyes, flowery vision, migraines, neurological issues. That's how it's going to show up. So it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to turn into a cancer or a terminal disease. But if you start to pay attention, because for example, another thing that people take for granted in this country is menstrual issues. And in Chinese medicine, if a woman is clotting or having painful periods, excessive blood flow, or no period, amenorrhagia, then what happens is that's considered a disease. It's not normal. So if I have a young girl coming in here and all of a sudden she's having severe cramping and she's vomiting and having migraines during her cycle, I know for a fact that there's something going on inside of her home. She's being bullied on social media. Something's happening at school. So let's address those social issues and also economic issues too, right? Let's address those first before putting her on a birth control pill to adjust her hormones.
Right, like go straight for, oh, here's A plus B equals C, but there's 50 tabs open under A and there's 100 right. tabs open under B. And C is not, it's not just what you see, right? I love that.
Yeah. So when a person comes into clinic, we ask a lot of these questions, and it doesn't necessarily mean that even if you had a bad childhood, yeah, we work through our stuff. There's so many people that have trauma, so many people that live into their hundreds that who survived the Holocaust, for example, right? So they found a way, a means. Now there's different environmental factors, constitution, underlying constitution that allows for somebody like that to survive that, to live to be over 100 years old. But if you have an extra tool that you could apply to your life, and Qigong is an extra tool that we could apply to our life in order to try to live this ultimate life, then we should tap into it and utilize it. So having these emotional traumas doesn't necessarily mean, because we all think and process differently, doesn't necessarily mean it's going to show up as a chronic disease for you. But if you do have chronic illness, if you do have chronic acne, which is considered a disease, then let's take a deeper dive into what's been going on, and let's start giving you the tools necessary to empower yourself to transform it.
Totally, and there's a solution. And for me, like I've felt personally, and that there isn't a solution. Or yeah, I have. Like you've hit a lot of things on the head for me in terms of yeah, I have regret. I have relationship issues. I have all of these things, you know. So for me, it's for those listening, to not feel overwhelmed right now, to not judge ourselves, but to accept like that there is a solution in terms of, you know, we can be healed without being on medication or running from something. A lot of people just run and keep running and they kick the can out, for instance, you know. How is Qigong for those experiencing those unfulfillment pieces? I mean, if you put relationships, I'm not getting enough, or, you know, my marriage, or this unfulfillment piece in my job. How does Qigong help with that specifically? Or how will you be able to diagnose specifically where it is based on just, oh, you have relationship issues?
Well,
because I feel like we all have something wrong with us, or not wrong, but there's always something going on.
Well, no, yeah, for sure. Because, you know, like I said, I started practicing Qigong when I was, 21 years old. But I also had two ex-wives and four kids and then a lot of crazy relationships in between before I met my current wife. So I was practicing Qigong, I was unfulfilled, and because of my addictive nature, I was drawing in these addictive types of dysfunctional relationships. But if you go back to my childhood, you see the dysfunction that was happening. I mean, by age 12, I'd wake up with my neighbor's wife in my bed. That was normal. My second cousin lived with us at one point, and he was in his mid-20s, and his girlfriend, I'd wake up in the morning, and she would be in bed with me. So that was my norm, right? Yeah. So that's how I established those types of relationships. So what ended up happening was that as I dove in deeper with the Qigong and started to uncover, okay, well, why am I drawing in this type of dysfunction? Sure, these people might be kind of crazy, but then I really had to look at myself. Well, they might be crazy, but there's something crazier about me. But if you go back to the childhood, you know, I mean, I think I was age 11. I stabbed my older brother for attacking my mom. You know, you start to see these patterns of dysfunction. And we have a choice. We could either continue to be in the dysfunction. We continue to play or blame society. We continue to blame mommy and daddy. But the reality is that no, take accountability for where we are right now. Yeah, those things happened for me, not to me. They happened for me to help to evolve, not to keep me suppressed and playing victim. And so for myself, you know, as I dove in deeper with the Qigong practices, I started to process through, oh, this abandonment issue, oh, abandonment, oh, heart, lung issues, right? The digestive issues, well, because I was angry. You know, if I ate a salad or an avocado, I was vomiting in the middle of the night or in the fetal position in chronic pain. If I ate any kind of animal fat or anything like that, the same thing too. And people would tell me, you know, before I was introduced to Qigong, well, even in my early 20s, after being introduced to Qigong, they'd be like, Chris, you're angry. I'd be like, screw you, you're angry. What are you talking about? But I was. But if you pay back into the childhood and stuff, and there's so much anger and neglect inside the house, then you start to put it together. Oh, this is why. And I was very controlling too, because I felt like I had to be controlling to control my environment because my home environment was so unstable. So even in my relationships, I'd try to control them.
That's what you knew. That's what you learned to survive as a kid. That's how you learned to cope in your situation.
Correct.
Do you feel like, or not feel, tell me a question that just popped up as you were speaking was, it doesn't eradicate the past. It doesn't, we know that for a fact, but it doesn't eradicate the feelings. It's, you constantly have to manage it, right? Because I feel like different experiences of life, especially for me, like especially around the holidays each year, it's my sister's birthday. I haven't seen her since I was 18. So it brings up each time life comes up, it comes in waves. So is it a management tool? Or can you use it at certain times? Does it, like you said, you've had your trauma too. You've shared your stories. Qigong, does it make it go away and be totally perfect again, right?
Right. Yeah. It's not a mask. But what it does is it gives you a tool to be able to process it in a healthy way. Because when you have trauma, there's two components to it, a yin and yang component. The yin component is the wisdom. The yang component is the event that occurred. So you let go of the event itself, or you process through what has happened. And what you do is you keep the wisdom that's to be learned from that situation. Because no matter if you're suffering and have recovered from a disease, or if you're somebody that was raped or was abused or is being abused, once you come out of that, then I believe it's our responsibility. And this is why I'm talking so openly about my childhood, is because it's our responsibility to then share that with other people, because then other people can then apply it to their own life.
Yeah. And I think sharing it is another way to process. You know, we often say, oh, I feel this way, let's fix it. There's no in between of how do I get from A to C, for instance. It's, oh, you have a problem, let's just cover it up. But like emotions need to be processed. And we don't talk about that enough, is what are tools to process this before I rely on the meds or before I have that chronic disorder or it goes bad. Growing up, if I had the tools, or even now to this day, processing even different life things, Qigong is a tool to help us process. I don't think we talk about the processing point enough, because it goes to other places, which means that's how our body processes it. But if we can soul and logically and have that awareness piece, then we can process it before our bodies have to take on.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, because it's having these things for us to rely upon. And you asked the question a little bit ago, like, do you do this daily or is it only at certain times? I recommend doing at least 10 or 15 minutes a day. But yes, this is something, for example, the heart healing sound is something that you could take with you anywhere. The whole idea then is that you don't suppress. Once you start to learn these practices, you now have a tool instead of suppressing, which will show up as disease, right? So for example, one of my favorite practices I call shaking the tree, like the Taylor Swift song. So you shake from head to toe.
I see that. I see shaking. Should we do it?
Yeah. So if we're going to do shaking the tree, it's going to be, we're going to relax and then we're going to start from the hands, go all the way up.
I see this on the Instagram, but you do it for like how long?
You know, you may do it several times, because what's interesting is that we're the only animal or mammal on land that does not shake it off when something happens to us. We get angry at something. What do? We suppress it. And guess what? That shows up as chronic acne. That shows up as migraines. So the next time your spouse...
What are you trying to say?
Right?
I didn't tell you anything. Yeah. His wife is sitting in here too. Her and I are looking at each other like, what?
So the next time your spouse or significant other or somebody makes you angry, go into another room and shake it off. And you may have to do it several times. And I'll give you an example. Like, so several years ago, my father, who is a Vietnam vet, had a stroke, and I became his power of attorney and stuff like that. So he had to have his big toe amputated. And so while he's having his toe amputated, I thought, well, I'm going to remodel his kitchen in his house for two reasons. One, so we come home to a brand new kitchen, because he bought his house in the early 1970s. And there's a lot of ugly pastel colors.
So you didn't like it, pretty much.
No.
Outer directed.
And so I wanted him to come home to this brand new kitchen, but also I knew someday that he was going to pass on, and I, you know, wanted to be able to turn over the house quickly. So I sent an email out to the family, you know, as to what's going on with my brothers and stuff like that. And this is dad's medical state, and here's what I'm doing. And then this one morning, it was a very busy Wednesday morning. My oldest daughter, who is a wrestler, went to college on a wrestling scholarship. She texts me, can I punch Uncle Donnie in the face? I said, sure, but why? And Parisa comes home because she had an early morning Pilates client. She goes, oh my God, did you see that email from your brother? And it's the most condescending, accusatory email threatening lawsuits, all kinds of things because I pulled the plug to remodel my dad's kitchen. Oh, I was angry, right? So I had to shake it off throughout the day, right? So the thought would come up. So it's okay if you have the thought, but if you feel that visceral effect inside your body, that's when you shake it off. So I had to shake it off several times just to get that vibration.
No matter how many times, just shake to create a vibration.
Just to release that, okay. Release it. Because when you release it, then your sympathetic nervous system will relax. And guess what? It doesn't show up as inflammation, because when we suppress it, that creates the inflammatory diseases. Is one of the culprits of inflammatory disease, right? And we get so used to just suppressing. And I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, I wasn't allowed to cry. So you start to cry, they say, shut up. And what do you hear the kid do? Yeah. So they learn to start to swallow their emotions.
Or like, I mean, the holidays just passed. We all see our families and I don't have kids. And so when I see a kid getting upset or disgruntled, I don't have kids. So for me, it's like, oh, it's a crying baby. Oh my God. So for me, it's like, let the kid cry, let the kid run around, let the kid release. Cause we're teaching them to release, one, and two, that's how they communicate. And three, it's okay to do that. But yeah, it's so interesting. Like, yeah, whether us as a kids or like, I hear it, but probably I don't like crying because there was so much crying to be had in my house. Right.
Right.
It's interesting. I just go back to all that.
Yeah. That connection. Yeah, and go back to shaking the tree and that vibration, you know, it's that vibration that we want to release. And animals actually will shake it off. And it doesn't matter. Like, two ducks get into a fight, the fight lasts a few seconds, they swim away, and what they do is they violently start flapping their wings. Why? Because they're conscious enough. They may not know that it's anger, but they're conscious enough to know that they have that vibration. If ducks were like humans and suppressed that argument or that fight, they'd swim around the pond waiting for Bob to come around to pop them in the beak, you know, right? Yeah. But they don't. And sometimes our bodies will make us shake. For example, like I said, my dad was a Vietnam vet and he was shot down a couple of times. And he said that the first time he was shot down, they got out under heavy gunfire and he was at the base camp and he was at the bar having a beer. And he said all of a sudden he went to drink the beer and his hands started violently shaking. Why? Because our nervous system said, okay, you can pretend like you're a cool 21-year-old, but you almost died today, right? So sometimes the trauma is so big that we will start to shake. So that practice allows us to release it. Now, my next favorite practice is called the dry cry. So the cool thing about this Qigong practice is that next time you're feeling something, instead of you suppressing it again and holding back the tears, you release it. So it's not only good for the past stuff. We could dig up past things, but it's the day-to-day stuff too. So something we saw on social media, the news, something that happened in our family.
So the heart opener. All right, our episode has come to an end, but I just want to ask as we wrap up the podcast is, how do you define hustle for happiness in your own life?
So for me, the hustle for happiness, my hustle that I have in my life is this passion to bring these practices to the world and to show people that you don't have to live with chronic pain and disease, that you can transform it. If you just start to apply and you start to go inward, stop seeking outside, but go inward to apply what's going on. And Qigong is just one method. You know, you can mix it with multiple different things, right? But at least it gives you something. So my hustle for happiness is being able to help people live the ultimate life that they're meant to live. And the cool thing is that when you see somebody who's been in chronic pain or has been suffering from a certain type of inflammatory condition for a long time, and they walk out of here with no pain, that's the reason why.
I love that. Where can our listeners and viewers find you?
So you go to sheltonqigong.com. That's our website. All the social media handles are on there. But if you go to TikTok, it's Chris_Shelton_Qigong. That's TikTok. And then the other social media handles, for example, like YouTube and Instagram and Facebook is Chris Shelton Qigong. And Qigong, once again, is spelled Qigong. And you have to put Chris Shelton, especially on YouTube, you have to put Chris Shelton Qigong. Because the guy that comes up before me is this guy that has all these anti-Scientology videos.
Just look for a bald guy, you guys, because I just did his hair and it looks so good. I appreciate you so much for coming on the podcast. We'll put all the links in the show notes. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It was such a pleasure. Yay. Yeah, so much fun.
Yay!
As we wrap up the conversation today with Chris Shelton, the key takeaway is that Qigong and Chinese medicine offer drug-free, medication-free solutions for emotional healing and holistic wellness. Chris has shown us the profound impact these ancient practices can have on processing trauma, managing emotions, and enhancing overall vitality. Whether you're struggling with chronic pain or simply just want to improve your overall well-being, Qigong can be life-changing. And I encourage you to explore Chris's books, the TV series, and the online content to unlock the power of these transformative healing arts. Remember, you all have the ability to improve your health and happiness. Chris's story is a testament to that, and I hope it inspires you to keep seeking, keep growing, and keep fighting for new ways to thrive. Love you guys. Till next time.
I hope today's episode left you better than when I found you. Make sure you hit the subscribe button and tune in every Monday to kickstart your week and set your weekly intentions with me. You can find me and HFH on YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok, or online at heycourtneybrook.com. I firmly believe in the power of sharing. If you know someone else who would benefit from this podcast, please share it with them. And remember, when you work on you, I get to be there.